good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, this is a day we have Robert Lilligren on, who's a CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, president and CEO. And we've been blessed here for every week for quite a while to have an update from Governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, Haley. And we're going to play that before we get Robert aboard here and maybe discuss a little bit what the governor talked about. But I know we love talking to Robert about national, local, and then what's happening down on the Native American corridor in Minneapolis. So before we get too much further into this, why don't we take a listen to Governor Tony Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update.
Expanding EVs and EV charging infrastructure is a central part of our work to compete in the 21st century and to build the sort of future we want to see for our state, one that is cleaner and more sustainable. That's why I was glad that the legislature sent Senate Bills 791 and 792 to my desk. These bills will provide important clarity on the future of EV infrastructure in Wisconsin and will allow Wisconsin DOT to receive and administer more than $78 million of federal funds under President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law. These funds will help us make significant progress towards bolstering EV infrastructure across the state, ensuring charging is quicker and easier and charging stations are available to support drivers. And I was glad to sign these two bills to build on my administration's efforts to build a strong, clean energy economy, from establishing our task force on climate change in 2019 to releasing the state's first ever clean energy plan. Folks have always said that we don't have to choose between mitigating climate change and protecting our environment and good paying jobs and economic development. We can do both, and we are doing. Wisconsin has the potential to emerge as a worldwide player in the manufacturing of EVs and related equipment, as we've already seen a local charging station manufacturer expand their plant and create new jobs right here in Wisconsin. The bills I signed will help make sure that we are in the driver's seat, not lagging behind in building a 21st century infrastructure we need and deserve. Thank you.
Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, apologize to our Facebook and YouTube listeners and Robert Lilligren. We were not able to hear it.
I do
understand.
I heard it too.
Oh, geez. Thanks, Robert. Well, maybe welcome, Robert Lilligren. And and maybe you could explain to what our listeners just heard.
Bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. Thanks for, it's so good to be here. Thanks for having me. You know, as usual, I'm just so relieved and impressed with Governor Evers' statements every week, and that he pays attention to Native people and Native Roots Radio. And we have a good governor here in Minnesota, too, but many people in their listening area may not. And so first off, to just say chi-mi-gwich and be very thankful for Governor Evers. And one of the things that he was talking about, Robert, that you couldn't hear was about electric vehicle charging stations, EV charging stations. And, you know, for some reason, this conversion into alternatives to fossil fuels is tremendously partisan, right? And so you need a good Democratic governor like Evers promoting and advocating for this. But I just was having a flashback to my time on the Minneapolis City Council, and I was represented our city on the regional body that allocated federal transportation funds. So a category of these funds are called CMAQ, Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Funds. And there was a proposal from, the Peace Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, or the Environmental and Protection Agency, to invest $500,000 of these funds, of which we got millions every year, $500,000 in vehicle charging infrastructure. So this is back around 2005, 2006. And this was a year-long debate on this body that ultimately passed with one vote, by one vote, to allocate the small amount of, relatively small amount of federal funds, and really the first public investment in EV charging infrastructure here in the region. And these people who were against it, these Republicans, would make these whopper statements like, well, the government doesn't subsidize, you know, fossil fuel burning vehicles. And I was just sitting there, I mean, I think we subsidize it. Don't quote me on this. I'm making this number up. But somewhere in the scale of $300 billion a year to petroleum companies, right? Mm-hmm. But somehow $500,000 for electric vehicle charging stations in our region to incentivize the private market as well was somehow, you know, anathema to these folks, even back then.
Wow, that's crazy. And I think Biden's doing great in a sense of, you know, putting factories with renewable in these red states too, and getting jobs. And that's brilliant, if you ask me.
Agree. And I think the acknowledgement, and I heard then Senator Al Franken back in 2008, or maybe he was just running for the Senate. No, I think he was a senator by then. But at the 2008 Democratic National Convention in Denver, Colorado, where then Senator and then President Obama was given the Democratic nomination for the first time. It was thrilling to be there, to be a delegate there. But Senator Franken, and I heard him say it many times, he would say, let's acknowledge that every bit of renewable energy going forward from this point will be cheaper. Well, every unit of petroleum-based energy going forward from this point will be more expensive. Mm-hmm. And they kind of put it into that more sort of longitudinal perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, it just makes sense to be investing in alternatives.
I wonder how the Republicans were when we were transitioning from horse to buggy to car.
Right. They probably resisted it, right? No change. But even, and I can't cite the source on this, but I've read it in a number of places over time, that even Henry Ford expected fossil fuel combustion power to be temporary. And that people would figure out a better way to move cars around in the very near future. And, you know, we just kind of locked on to the combustion engine and the fossil fuels, and we just refused to let go.
Yeah, there's too much money caught up in that. And we need the government to subsidize these to get it going and give tax breaks in the right place for Mother Earth and Father Sky too, not just for the economy and whatnot.
Here, just speaking from my own experience, I really lucked out. I purchased, it's a plug-in hybrid in 2021. And then it was very easy to access the government tax credits and things. And so mine's just a hybrid, so I only got half the credit, but it was still substantial and a determining factor in my decision to invest in an electric vehicle back then. And so I don't think it's going to take a lot, right? But it is going to take some government intervention to get it going.
Yeah, we all should have solar panels and windmills in our backyard, I think.
Here.
And we got to lead towards that and learn how to partner also with the electric companies and the infrastructure here. I think if we can partner, it'll be a win-win for everyone and the economy and Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Car shopping is made super easy with Rudy Luther Toyota's Luther Direct. It's car shopping without ever leaving your home. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com and click on Luther Direct. Choose any vehicle in Rudy Luther Toyota's current inventory, either new or certified pre-owned. Then find out what kind of value you can get for your trade-in, review a payment plan you qualify for, and customize it, and then set up a time for Rudy Luther to drop off your new vehicle and pick up your trade-in. It's that simple. Your new vehicle comes to you without any of the hassle. Check out Luther Direct today at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, CEO and president of Native American Community Development Institute here in Minnesota in the Twin Cities, and we always enjoy our conversations on Thursday. Robert, I want to throw it to you. I shot you a quick text, but I'd like to see what you'd like to talk about, and then maybe we can end up talking about our orange friend.
Oh, sounds good. Yeah, I just texted you back. It's a lot of communication modes and platforms to be to be managing at one time, and I'm all alone. I don't have Haley's excellent assistance. So, I mean, one thing I really wanted to lift up, and earlier Haley and I were emailing, but it's about events that are going on around NACD, our gallery, All My Relations Arts, tomorrow, I guess. Is it tomorrow? The 19th?
Yes, Friday and Saturday.
Oh, Friday and Saturday. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm looking at the calendar here. So we have a spring artisan market at our gallery. So a pop-up vendor extravaganza from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at All My Relations Arts. It's right on the corner of Franklin, East Franklin and 15th on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. So show up and support local Native vendors and artists.
I'll be there.
I am looking forward to it. I will be there too.
And, we're here in New York, Wendy and I. We have a funeral. We're doing the show from here. And I'd be there. And I'm just excited about the corridor and what's happening here in the next month.
And just talking about what's happening the next month, May 9th will be the opening of our next show at All My Relations Arts Gallery. The artist is Frank Buffalo Hyde. It's a solo show called Alternative. And I've seen some of the art as it's coming in, and it's going to be really impressive. So make sure folks stay aware of that.
Well, as I was telling Dr. Stately on Monday that we stole vaccinative from them, we're going to try and steal alternative. I like that too.
I love it. A word that we use around the office sometimes to sort of get away from sort of the bougie Indian kind of label. We call ourselves sophisticated natives.
Oh, jeez.
So copyright, nasty.
You heard it here on the radio. We can't erase that.
Take it back, right? No, I'm just kidding. It's a little around the office joke. And then just to lift up, Indian Month is coming. Minnesota is one of is the only state in the country that has American Indian Month in May. It is a month-long extravaganza of events, starting with the kickoff parade. We gather at Little Earth of United Tribes in Cedarfield Park at 10 a.m. 10:30, the parade steps off. And then we go to the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And the Indian Center has been going on a years-long effort. It's a total reconstruction. If folks are looking on social media and stuff, the signage is up. It's just, it is so impressive. So yeah, we'll go there for an opening ceremony and a feast, community feast, and it's going to be exciting. Including in the parade is Metro Transit, our local transit service. We have a wrapped bus that says, "We are on Dakota land." Mm. That was created by local Dakota artist Marlena Miles, mm-hmm. whose career is just taking off, former employee of All My Relations Arts Gallery. And the artist will be there. Marlena will be there as well, to receive some well-deserved recognition from the community. It's going to be a big day.
That's awesome. And I think it's great that the avenue's expanding again, and it's good for everybody mm-hmm. On the avenue that this is opening up. It's just fun. You can walk up and down Franklin Avenue and yeah. stop for a coffee, say hi, and go into yeah. their cafe that's going to
be hugely open. Expanded Gatherings Cafe at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And then for Indian Month, there's a full calendar, and it'll be on the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, MUID, MUD, MUIDMN.org website. It's not there yet, but it's on MUD's Facebook page. So if you go to the community page of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, and there looks like so far, and it's still growing, there are things going on every single day, except for a few scattered days and multiple events on many days. So like NACDs, most of the nonprofits have open houses during the month. Mm-hmm. NACD and the American Indian Community Development Corporation and Powell Grounds Coffee Shop do our joint open house on Tuesday, May 21st, 11:30 to 2:30. It's going to be like a little mini music festival. We have a couple of Native bands that'll be playing. So stop on down for that, and go to the MUD community page on Facebook to get a full calendar.
Yeah, we've seen that too, and I can't wait until maybe the gallery or Powwow Grounds comes up with a Native karaoke night. Oh,
I like the idea. I like the idea. We'll only do it if you promise to perform.
Well, I'll lead off with a little Frank Sinatra, like I usually do. Summer.
I love that Rat Pack stuff. Yeah. Someday I'll sit down and tell you about my brief lounge singing career.
Wait a minute, Haley, can we cancel the next guest? I want to hear that. Ooh,
my little joke, it was right before I ran for public office, and my joke was that I learned that the lounge singing environment was full of cutthroat people who just wanted to stab you in the back and take your place, so I decided to go into politics instead.
Much yeah. better.
Right.
Oh my God, I never knew that. That's awesome. Oh, I'm stunned over here in New York
yeah. City. Oh, that's right, New York City. So Trump land. Are you seeing any yeah. of that?
No, nope, but I saw an interview about one of the jurors that was said that she had to get out, and just the process of them becoming jurors. And I heard that they're all 12 are being seated now. They yeah. need the alternates. But one of the people was interviewed on MSNBC, and she had just become a citizen a year ago. They started at 9 a.m. and at 4:30, they came into the courtroom and they saw Trump, the orange one, and they all were like in shock that sure. they could possibly be. And you know, Robert, did you hear too that the media has given out too much information, and that's
way too much.
Yeah.
So the judge has gagged the media, or at least prohibited them from publishing employers of the jurors. They have seated 12 now, plus one alternate, and that's counting the two that have cycled off already. Mm-hmm. There were two that, for different reasons, cycled off. One said she can be impartial. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and so, you know, having a a jury be able to do their jobs in any trial is critical to the functioning of one of our third branches of government, right? And so to have deliberate jury intimidation, jury badgering, Trump is even trying to intimidate them from inside the courtroom, right? That violates fundamental tenets of our democracy.
Why is it so different, this two-tiered legal system? I would be been in jail 3 years ago by now, or 6 years ago.
The legal system is inherently biased, right, and inherently racist, and Native people, actually, we have data here in Hennepin County, our county where Minneapolis is, Native people have the least satisfying outcomes in courts here in our Hennepin County District Court, and that's the way it is, and it always has been, right, and we need to change it, but what we're seeing now is we have this high profile convict. Is he convicted? No, I'm sorry. The, participant who, you know, who is an ex-president. And so really that's unprecedented in a criminal court, right? This is the first time ever. And so everything, all I's need to be dotted, T's need to be crossed, ducks need to be in a row, whatever, however you want to say it. And it's edgy. And then you have someone who has built a career riling up zealot-like followers, right? People that he can stir up and shoot them at the Capitol, right? And they'll input at the Capitol. And so it's a volatile situation. And I think, you know, this is a test, right? Are we going to – I thought his presidency and what happened right after his presidency was the test. And it's taken several years to kind of re-strengthen our institutions, but I think this is going to be at least as big a test now.
Yeah, and we have to be up for it, because I think that even Biden wins, because we know Trump hasn't won the popular vote ever against Hillary or Biden, and if he loses again, what's going to happen the next day? Because he's already talking like he did in 2016, even that it's rigged.
Right. And I'm sure he'll say that, you know, he'll say that before the election, right? But like he did in 2020. But I think what's going to, you know, we need to be strong. We need to organize. We need to vote. Native people need to vote. Our votes, our numbers are up in the margins of victory of election. So it's important to vote. And for me, I feel like I can't live in fear, right? There's going to be a day after the election and an era after the election. And my biggest hope is that the air gets taken out of this whole MAGA movement and that we can start to heal. But I suspect it's going to be a little painful.
Well, Robert, I want to thank you as always. Now I can add to your resume, a lounge singer.
Right. Can't wait to hear call more. My agent. Call my agent.
Hey, thanks again for being on. Really appreciate you. All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Absolutely, they sure do. And hey, we're excited to talk to Liz Jacola. And Liz, I haven't talked to you in a long time. You're a musician, educator, and storyteller. There's a event coming up on the 20th at 7:30, the Aunties at O'Shaughnessy Hall at St. Kate's here in the University of St. Paul. Great to have you on. Great to see you again.
I'm happy to be here, Robert. Thanks so much.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit what's going to be happening and what the Aunties is all about. I know, but I think our listeners need to know and show up.
That's the brainchild, I think, of indigenous production performances and or IPP. What does that stand for?
Sounds right.
And the O'Shaughnessy, or you know, at St. Kate's, they're wanting to showcase the traditional storytelling from a different perspective, not like the sacred stories, Arisukan, or, you know, those stories that have a certain time that we're supposed to tell them, but really just telling stories about who we are as Native women, specifically this time, the aunties, the aunties, depending if you're an ah or an ah person. And I grew up as an ah, but I changed to ah, and I'm not sure what caused that.
I get them mixed up too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's a right way, you know?
Yeah, I know. Auntie is good, but auntie is kind of hard because I think that's what I called my aunts is auntie. But you think about it, that those are insects too that are red and black,
right? Those little ants, yeah. My you know, my aunties or my aunties when I was growing up were really my, you know, if we're to talk about like the great aunties or the great aunties, my grandma's sisters, growing up, those were the ones who I looked to for advice. They're the ones that would, they had like license to be a little crazy, a little edgy, you know? and so I was always, you know, admiring them and learning how to be, you know, a Native woman by, you know, hearing their stories, sitting in their kitchen, eating their goodies that they always had out, you know, like that kind of environment is what I grew up in with those women. And when I was asked to be on the show or to be a part of the show, I thought, really me? I don't know. You know, I guess maybe, you know, I'm 55. So maybe I'm getting up there, you know, to be able to hang with the aunties.
Well, I think, Liz, being an auntie too, a Native auntie, is an attitude too, and I think you have that. Can you tell our listening audience who else is going to be there? Because it's some exciting aunties that are going to be there.
Yeah, we're bilingual, eh? Aunties, aunties.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The Honorable Judge Anne. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, speaking of vowels. Aunt McKeague.
McKeague?
McKeague, yeah.
Yeah.
My college training in other languages, you know, makes, kind of hangs me up there. So I'm like, is that how you say that? You know, her stories growing up on Leech Lake, and I'm looking forward to sharing the stage with her, as well as Sandy Whitehawk. And Sandy Whitehawk is Standing Rock, I believe. And I had a long day. I was at MIA earlier today, so my memory's all, I took a nap. I just woke up from a nap.
Oh, hey.
So did Robert, probably.
Right, I did too. Sandy's Rosebud Reservation, South Dakota. And then also, I want to swing back about the judge. She is the first Native American to sit on the Supreme Court in the state of Minnesota. So big kudos to there, and there's some heavy hitters going to be speaking their truth and their story at O'Shaughnessy on Saturday.
Right. Yep. And I'm out of my league.
No way.
No. You know what? One of the things that I've known you over the years with actions that I've been taking with water, and then I found out how much of a musician you are and your family. And so you have a lot to share and a lot of stories to tell just from that aspect. I know you're a great musician.
Oh, thanks. I don't know about great, but I do make a lot of noise. I was just presenting at MIEA today about music. And, you know, the official definition of music is organized sound. Mm-hmm. So sometimes my sound is a little disorganized, but it's just differently organized. No,
For our listeners out there, it's Minnesota Indian Education that you were at. And I know that's always fun, and I miss that, especially for the Harding, the school I used to teach at. We did really well in the language bowls that they have up there. So I miss going up there and being a part of that.
Yeah, our kids from up here, Cloquet schools got first, and Fond du Lac school got third in the knowledge bowl. So we're all pumped up celebrating up here. Our kids are carrying home the big awards. I don't know what they got. They probably get some certificates. Maybe
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a big deal though. Just to preserve our language and have a contest and having the students excited about learning their history and their language.
Yeah, it's really turned into, you know, such a great get together just for everybody, you know, to have not everybody in the room, but a lot, you know, in the room is big now, and a lot of people are, you know, exchanging ideas, they're networking about what's working in their community, and that's, you know, just what we need, you know, in the middle of April.
Exactly. Well, we're here with Liz Jacola, and she's a musician, educator, and storyteller, and we're talking about what's happening Saturday on April 20th at 7:30, the Aunties or Aunties at the O'Shaughnessy at St. Catherine's University in St. Paul, and it's an evening of storytelling and an installment of a document series, one of many meant to preserve our Aunties' words for future generations as a lasting culture resource. That's a mouthful right there.
I'm going to say O'Shaughnessy, just to be that way.
and then you can say St. Paul, too. The old way, what was St. Paul called before St. Paul was Pig's Eye.
Pig's Eye.
Was it really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Before it was named as St. Paul. Well, Haley, the more you listen to Native Roots Radio, the more either you think I'm full of poop or you learn something. I'm not sure.
I have learned that.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. And so, Liz, I know at one time you were in politics. Are you still in politics?
I am. This is my last year of my first, term as a Cloquet City Councilor for Ward 5, which is part of the city boundaries that overlaps with the reservation up here, as well as the north of town. The Ward 5 is like split in these two sections. You might say it's like the Indian end and then the white end of town. I'm thinking about re-upping. We'll see how I feel that, you know, when they decide that it's time for me to file my papers. It's touch and go here, you know, because my folks moved in. So my 85 and 84 year old parents are living, they're right up above me right now, in my master suite upstairs.
Two more votes. That's two more votes, right?
So we'll see. I mean, I really have enjoyed, serving in that capacity. I've learned a lot. I kind of feel like I was behind the, behind the eight ball there for a little bit. I would like to see some more cool things happen. We've got some good, community building happening that I can't take credit for, but I was a part of. To bring about more, better understanding between the townsfolk here and the reservation, people living among each other and next to each other. There's all kinds of, you know, things that have happened historically that we can, you know, use in a way to understand each other better, I think, and to heal together. I was just talking about this earlier this week, where, you know, we talk about our own historical trauma and our own, you know, epigenetics that contribute to our, you know, our experience now. Both the challenges, the things that
happened throughout, you know, genocide, and as well as then there's our strengths that have made it so we can, you know, thrive and survive. Well, we weren't the only people present during all of that, right? The non-Native people were present as well, and they have their own side of that, the reciprocal side of that, that historical trauma. And they're healing too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So right. Like, granted, it is a much different experience that they had and that we now are living in. But, I think that we, you know, if we all focus on how we can be better together, how we can work better together, better understand each other, leverage our strengths in such a way that our communities get stronger for us and for our kids. That's really what my, you know, my focus has been all along. Now I really sound like a politician. Holy cow, Robert.
Well, for more little outburst speeches like that, Liz is going to be at the O'Shaughnessy here in St. Kate's doing the aunties, and that'll be April 20th at 7:30. And we are really happy to have you on and spend some time with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here. I really am so grateful for Native Roots Radio and for all the work that you do, you know, both here at, you know, in the media, as well as at your own home res doing some leadership there.
Yeah. A big peony geeky. Liz, we got to have you on again. I want to really sit and talk about music and some projects that you were involved with that were really awesome that I had a chance to see. So it's great to have you on again, and let's do it this real soon.
Thanks. Miigwech.
Right on. Native Roots Radio will be right back after the short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Attention, Native American community. As we prepare for American Indian Celebration Month in Minnesota this May, it's essential to prioritize the health and safety of our communities. With social gatherings and festivities on the horizon, getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is crucial. So let's make getting vaccinated a tradition, inclusive and cross-generational. Imagine gatherings filled with shared stories and cultural celebrations free from the shadow of COVID-19. Remember, protecting yourself and others is what counts. Whether it's time for an updated vaccine or your first shot, all COVID-19 vaccines offer protection, with the latest vaccine especially recommended for our elders over 65. As we gather with friends and relatives this May for American Indian Celebration Month, let's ensure everyone's safety by getting vaccinated. Together, we can uphold our traditions and keep our communities thriving. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How?
Ooh. Ooh. We heard Wendy in the background there howling. Hey, we are back here. What a great interview, and I'm glad you're going to be able to make it out there, Haley, for the aunties at the O'Shaughnessy at St. Catharines University in St. Paul at 7:30 on Saturday.
I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm going to bring along one of our good friends, Brooke LaFleau, who is the
CEO of Little Ninny Johnny's, the basketball tournament that goes on here. And yeah, it should be a really fun evening. Looking forward to it. Also looking forward to heading over to the Four Sisters and all my relations teaming up for their spring artisan market out at NACD, 1414 East Franklin Avenue, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday.
Well, you're going to have a busy dance card, it sounds like, this weekend. So that's...
We hope so.
Well, hey, let's talk a little bit about where the last time I saw you in person.
Oh, yeah. That was Wolf Day. So shout out to Dr. Maureen Hackett and the Howling for Wolves crew. You know, it was really great. We were out at the Capitol and we got to speak with our senators and our representatives and talk about, you know, the Wolf Bill that our state Senator Mary Kunish, we are so thankful and grateful for her for bringing that bill up to the legislative table. And I know the vote was, do you want to talk about that? I think it was 30 to 35 for prohibiting wolf hunting the past week, but.
Right. And what I'd like to talk about, Haley, if you don't mind, is just like the happenings beforehand with Dr. Hackett speaking. We had some surprise politicians come down there, and there was over 100 people that showed up to talk to their senators about preserving our relative, the wolf, here, and not have a wolf hunt and not wipe out people. And we learned information like, you know, if they kill the head of the pack, that's when the wolves get a little gnarly. They don't have their leaders. So there's all these things that Native Americans know from studying thousands of years, the way the wolves run their clans and families, and bringing it over to us that they're so essential to the ecology of the land, and they're beautiful animals.
Absolutely. I'm pulling out my fact sheets here. We got our folder from Howling for Wolves, and yeah, it was just really a great event. And, you know, Minnesota is the only lower continental state that, you know, our wolf populations have never gone extinct up in our northern woods. And that's a huge thing, because these animals are so sacred. And we talk about, you know, Robert Dega, we come from the Eagle Clan, which are the protectors of the sky. And then we also talk about our wolf clans and our bear clans, you know, protecting the ground. So this is, you know, a huge thing for us as Native Americans. It's not just a love affair, as it's been described here by a different representative with the wolf, but, you know, this is almost like our spirituality.
It is, exactly. And that's put really well. And I believe that when people do hear the whole facts and don't hear that they're, you know, killing cows and all these things, when they hear that these traps are killing dogs, they're torturing dogs and wolves, when you have those traps out there, when they're out there with dogs looking for people that are lost, they get caught in these fears too.
Yeah. Are you talking about the traps?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So Howling for Wolves, this is their 2024 legislative priorities. I guess our top priority right now is to require permission to leave traps on private land. And like Dr. Hackett was talking about on Wolf Day here yesterday at the Capitol, Wisconsin has had this, you know, regulation in their state for people to require permission, whether that's written permission or verbal permission, for these hunters and trappers to trap on their private property. And I think, you know, that's more than fair. There's other states where they've proven that this has worked with maintaining in their wolves. And I don't see how anyone could fight that. You know, it's permission, it's private land.
Right. Well, it'd be like putting a trap in our backyard where it would trap our dogs and our squirrels and things that aren't meant to be trapped. And who would somebody put that in our backyard? That'd be crazy to come in, you know, our city backyard and put that in. And that's basically what they're doing up north by not asking the permission of the landowners.
Yes. And if I remember correctly, too, Dr. Hackett had mentioned that there was pushback with the location on where that requirement would be to ask for permission. And I guess people didn't want that regulation north. What was it? North of Walker and Park Rapids, where our wolf population is, you know?
Right. Exactly. Good call there. Highway 2, which I have no idea where it is, but that's, like you just said, that's where all the wolves are.
Yeah. And to mention, too, a lot of our, you know, even out-of-state residents and people in Minnesota, that's where we own private land. That's where we have acreage. That's where we have cabins. That's where we're not at, you know, a certain amount of the year. So who knows? You could be not at your cabin for the winter, and you wouldn't know if there's people setting illegal wolf traps on your property.
Yeah, that's just bizarre. I don't know. That totally is. But it was great to see all like-minded people there. Wendy and I talked to our representative, Dave Pinto, who really gets it. He's a Democrat. And also Erin Murphy. We were not able to see her because our Senator Murphy is a very busy person. And so we left a postcard, and we know that she supports and she's like-minded when it comes to preserving our wolf. And let's get behind that and keep plugging away. I believe, Haley, when we talk about this and get it out there and get people thinking about this, it's a whole different ballgame as opposed to hearing sound bites, seeing ads, and hearing politicians. You know, you listen to the regular TV news here locally, and you hear that, like, the Republicans are upset about something, and they get this out in the news, but in reality, they don't have the vote. So all they're doing is really squawking and trying to start some chaos because they don't have the votes to overturn any of these things that have happened in the last session, this session that really helped out our Native community, but also our whole state and the whole.
Yeah, exactly, too. And I just want to mention all Democrats in Minnesota voted to prohibit wolf hunting this past week, except Senators Housechild, Friends, Latz, Kupek, and Hoffman. So if those are your Democrats, speak to them. Make sure that they know that you want to keep the wolf protected here in Minnesota. And if they didn't vote for the wolf, ask them why.
Exactly. And that's a really good way to put it, Haley. Ask them why. And also, you know, talk to your legislators about what we could do to move this forward. And they may have a lot better ideas than we do here sitting behind a screen in front of a microphone. And they work for us. And if you go at it with that simple idea that they work for us and go in it with a good heart and an open mind and tell them how you feel, they seem to listen, and they know that that's their job. So that was a fun day at the Capitol, and I look forward to more.
Me too. Yeah, learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Exactly. Woo! Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thanks to all the guests today, Governor Evers, Robert Lilligren, and Liz DiCola, and of course, Haley Big Peenigie for setting this up and being the great producer you are. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.